Turn with me now to the book of Psalms, Psalm 91. Psalm 91, and we want to read through the 16 verses of this psalm. And it's found on page 684 of the Bibles there in your rows. Psalm 91, we read, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil will befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, remember the grass withers and the flower falls, but God's word abides forever. This morning we want to consider the security that belongs to those who abide in and love God. The security for those who abide in and love God. As we contemplate the idea of security, when you think of something that has protection to it, something that cannot be penetrated, what do you think of? For some, the idea of security is found in Fort Knox. Fort Knox is a place that was utilized and still is in order to house gold. It has four surrounding fences, two of which are electric, and then it has armed sentinels lining the perimeter. It's also monitored by video cameras, and it has granite walls that are 4 feet thick and held together by 750 tons of reinforced steel. If that weren't enough, there are armed guards inside, plus a maze of locked doors that is then closed in by a 22-vault door, which can only be opened if you can find all the staff members who have their small slice of the combination for the door, since no one knows the entire combination. There are then further smaller vaults that are tucked inside, and if you can break into all that, then you can take the 5,000 tons of gold bullion that is stored there. But as you then try to haul that out, you'll be greeted by 30,000 soldiers from the military camp that is also close by. Now, if you want to talk about security, that sounds pretty secure. And yet, God is giving us a picture of security that is even far greater and far better than anything that can be offered or found in Fort Knox. Because God testifies of the very security that He provides and offers to those who abide in Him and are loved by Him. God testifies of this in verse 2 when He says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I so trust." And so this morning we want to see simply the security that is provided to the saints by God, to those who love Him and abide in him. As we consider this idea, we want to see three basic concepts. The first is simply the security that God provides. The security that God provides to the saints. The second idea, and it has some similarities and yet it's different, not only does God give security, he then secondly also gives safety. And that's in verses 5 through 13. And then lastly, we see the secure promise that God gives. The secure promise that God gives. Now, as we reflect on this psalm, for some of us, it's quite familiar. In fact, as there was a survey done of ranking the top, you know, how would you put the psalms in order of importance or significance? In those 150, according to one website, this was the second most popular psalm, only to Psalm 23. Others had it ranked third, maybe behind Psalm 103, or even Psalm 1. The reason that this psalm, I think, is so popular is because it's so personable. Not only is it so personable, it's also just so comforting and so reassuring and so strengthening to us, especially when we're facing difficulties or enduring hardships. After all, what better comfort can you find than this language of God saying, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. And then the language that's used, deliver you from a snare and from pestilence and covering you intimately and personally, assuring you of protection and safety so that you need not be afraid nor fear nor worry about anything coming after you or attacking you. And so as you hear this language, it's no wonder that it would only follow after the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This psalm was utilized in World War I and World War II. In fact, the 91st Brigade would quote this every day as they were in the midst of battle. In World War II, there were the steel-cased Bibles of the New Testament and the Psalms that were handed out to all the soldiers that they could then put in their pockets, in their shirt. It would serve as a protection of their heart. In fact, one lieutenant was able to benefit from that, and he was amazed that as the bullet had penetrated into the scriptures, it stopped at Psalm 91 and directed his attention to the language that 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. And so you can see all sorts of reasons why this psalm is looked at with great appreciation and reflected upon and popular. And yet even as it is familiar, it is of great importance and benefit, because it does direct us to the security that is to those who abide in God and love Him. Well, what exactly is the security? Let's look at verses 1 through 4. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the perilous pestilence. He will cover you with His feather, and under His wings you will take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Ultimately, we see the security that comes to us is God Himself. And notice how God describes Himself as He discusses this language of security, because the titles that He uses only helps to enhance and further direct our attention to the way in which the Lord offers this sense of foundation and this fortress available to us. Notice what He says. Verse 1a, the Most High. 1b, the Almighty. 2a, the Lord. 2b, my God. Four different names used for God to all speak of a reiteration of the security that he gives. Security based simply on his sovereign majesty as being the one who is the Most High God. There's no one like him. There's none beside him. There's no one on level with him. He is the sovereign one over this entire world. He's also described as being almighty, that he has strength and that he has power. We also speak of this in the description of omnipotence, that he has all power. God revealed his might, for example, when he sustained the patriarchs and testified of his being the one who has power to care for them and keep them, even as they were homeless. He revealed to Hagar and Ishmael that he was El Shaddai, which is the language used here for Almighty. He also shows himself to be the one who is the covenant keeper, the great I Am, the one who remembers and keeps his promises to bring them to fruition so that they then will be fulfilled. Lastly, he testifies simply as being the creator and sustainer of all of life. The security of the saints is found in God himself, and God reveals this as being the sovereign one who cares for all people at all times, in all circumstances, who remembers his intentions and his promises from the very beginning, so that as he interacts in this world, he accomplishes his will and purpose unto the glory of his name. What does this then say as to the security of the saints? That your security is comprehensive. That there isn't any area. If God shows himself to be almighty, sovereign, covenant keeper, and the one then who is working as creator and sustainer, then there isn't anything that God isn't doing or acting in accordance with the accomplishment of his will in your life. And so the safety that he gives you is comprehensive. Now there is one thing that needs to be clarified in terms of this safety. Because sometimes people have read through this passage and they've looked at, say, verses 3 and following, and it says, well, he'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the pestilence, and he'll cover you and he'll keep you and you won't fall down, and the Lord then will be your refuge and so forth. And so they then start to say here, this passage then helps to show that if you just have enough faith and the right faith, then guess what? No problems or difficulties will come your way. But that's not what the passage here testifies to. We ought not read this passage and understand then that Christians will have no troubles or difficulties or hard circumstances. There will be trouble in our lives, but God will give the necessary safety and security needed through those troubles. He will provide protection and refuge and shelter. He will uphold you and he will sustain you. God will not necessarily deliver you from troubles, but he will cover you and he will keep you even through them. After all, if God did deliver his own son from troubles, how will he not then deliver you? The way in which God then shows us or describes or speaks to the safety is found in verse 3 and 4. He says he will surely... verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. And verse 3 says, he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. The amazing description that God gives in the security that he provides to his saints is one of tenderness and also one of toughness. One of tenderness and yet one of toughness. Notice how he describes a bird that gathers her young under her wings so that they might have protection. They might have warmth. They might have comfort. They might have safety as they're right next to mom. And yet we also then see the language of armor. Something that is strong and able to withstand any and every blow that would come its way so that there would be no harm or no injury, no blood drawn. God shows himself to be faithful in that he delivers and keeps all of his children as they go through any and all types of hardships. There are hardships that have happened in each of your lives. God has brought those into your life for a reason, whether to teach you or to teach others, whether it's to glorify his name through the time of difficulty or simply to teach you more about who he is and how you might call out to him at all times and draw strength from him and gain encouragement and comfort and hope, even through the midst of those difficulties. Yet what underlies all of that is that God shows himself to be your certain surety and security and strength through those challenges. God also speaks of the fact that he does give safety to the saints. We see this in verses 5 through verse 13. He gives safety to the saints. And basically, if you want to describe the safety that he provides, he does so in such a way so that as his children go through difficulties, there's two things that they can be assured of. The first one is that they need not be afraid. The second one is that they need not worry about falling. You don't need to be afraid. What does it say? Verse 5. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. This basically is noting that day and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, unless it's leap year, God is there. He's providing you with all that you need, so you do not need to be afraid. Sometimes I think we lose sight of this because we get stuck on some of the language that's in our text here. When we read verse 5 and 6, we talk about, well, terror by night and arrows by day and pestilence and darkness and destruction at noonday. We don't really face that or deal with that. I mean, the time of the frontiers and arrows that would fly after people traveling in wooden wagons in our area of the country, I mean, that's gone a while. So we don't face that as we drive home. We live in a pretty clean country. We're not dealing with epidemics that are arising around us so that we're having the threat of diseases and sicknesses. So how do we grasp this idea? How do we see that we can still live without fear? How often do you deal with the idea of traps or snares in terms of debt? There are still plagues that arise. It wasn't that long ago that we heard about swine flu or West Nile virus or bird flu. Although we might not deal with the idea of stones tripping us up, we still find that there are times in which we stumble and fall and trip, whether it's stuff that we say by means of our words or situations that we get ourselves into that we realize when it's all said and done, we can't quite get out of it. We don't necessarily face snakes and lions, but we do face scary situations that cause us to say that we want to run. This language, we won't read it, but it is used in Psalm 57 and Psalm 64 to describe human opposition. And what God is speaking of here is to say, you as his child need not fear. You need not be afraid of the real dangers that exist in this world. Why? Because of what he said at the beginning. I'm your security. I'm your shelter. I'm your strength. To you, I am the most wondrous and loving being that you can come to that will give you great warmth. And at the same time, those who then are seeking to prosecute you and to come after you, they see me and they run in fear and terror. God's testimony to his children is that you have nothing to fear in this world if you simply fear God. And that you cannot ultimately be harmed. We read this passage in the last week or two, Romans 8. I think we've heard that passage a few times now. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God acted as he did in accordance with his Son, then what can separate us from his love? And Paul then goes through a list of all sorts of things, and he talks about perils and diseases and hardships and people and principalities and powers and things above and things below and things to the one hand and to the other. And he says nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. And if that cannot happen, then the converse here in Psalm 91 is, then what do I need to be afraid of? What do you need to be afraid of? Nothing. If you are joined to the living God, who is filled with all power and all strength, who accomplishes all things in accordance with his will, and is seeking to work his own glory. There is no dread, no fear, no terror that you need to be consumed with or filled with. The psalmist here also testifies that not only is there no fear, but there's also no fall. Verses 7 through 10, thousands may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, it shall not come near you. Because you've made, verse 9, the Lord who is my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling, no evil will befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. God can keep you. His protection is far more and far greater than those enemies who come against you and oppose you. Didn't God testify of this to the children of Israel during the time of the plagues? You can go back and read about the 10 plagues of Egypt in Exodus 7 through Exodus 12. But if you look in Exodus chapter 9, you will see this. That you had these two nations living in the same land. And yet God brought pestilence and death to all of the livestock and to all of the crops of Egypt. But here's Israel in the land of Goshen. And what do they have? Crops and cattle with abundance. What does God say? I can keep you. My protection is sure, so that ye need not fear, nor will you fall. God encourages us greatly with this truth. And he even shows us how he does it, the instruments of his protection, verses 11 through 13. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. What is God ultimately testifying to us in this passage? God brings about his care for us through his instruments. We ought not hear this and think to ourselves, well, maybe there's something wrong with God. After all, he's just using angels. Or maybe I'm not all that important. After all, he gives me angels. Maybe some of you feel like your angel is a lot like the character Clarence in the movie It's a Wonderful Life, identified as angel second class. No such thing as that. Angels are glorious created beings who are called perfectly to fulfill the will of God and whatever he sets before them, and they will do so in an amazing, wondrous manner. God uses them to watch over us and guard us in all of our ways. And the Lord testifies to us that as they bear us up in their hands, they will do so that will allow us to deal with minimal extent of harm or difficulty. Remember, God is there even in the small matters, even in the trials, not only great but also small. And He will ultimately accomplish His plan by His servants, so that He will give you safety. He will give you an amazing protection that will guard you and keep you and uphold you and strengthen you, directing His servants to be used for the accomplishment of your safety. The Lord testifies then that He is the one who gives us security. And He then goes about accomplishing this in such a manner so that we will not fall, we also need not fear, and He uses His own beings to bring this about. But He tells us of one more thing, and that is the secure promise that He makes for us. Verse 14. Because He has set His love upon me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him and be with him in trouble and deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. One thing that's fundamental through all of this and that's being assumed throughout this psalm is that there is a relationship between God and the person that He's watching over. And I don't just mean a relationship as creator and creature, but ultimately as the God who's recognized to be loved and the one who loves that God. This security is only found for those who are in right relationship with this one, and it's really made clear for us in verse 14, because He has set His love upon me. Only those who truly love God will be in this position of safety and security. Only those who truly recognize this God as the God who is worthy of their praise will be in a position of receiving then this life of having no fear and no falling away or falling back. How is it that we ultimately love this God? Well, it's seen in the recognition of what God has done for us. It's the acknowledgement that we were at one time apart from Him. And He did so act in order to address our greatest fear, which the fear of what's going to happen after this life. The fear of having to come face to face with Him and address our own sin and our miserable condition and our lack of inability to uphold and keep His righteous law that is set upon us. And from that to hear that even though we've missed on that, that God ultimately has overcome that through Jesus Christ. The display of His love to us in the gift of His Son causes us then to cry out to Him to seek then the favor that He gives. It's only those who have humbled themselves in that way that they then will have this safety and security and this protection and this encouragement and this strength that God ultimately can provide. And so if you desire this sort of thing in your own life, you must first humble yourself before the living God and cry out for His favor. But God does make the promise and the assurance that He then will bring a position of just wonder and amazement, a position of honor where He sets one on high and gives special attention, where He then exalts those who know Him. And He ultimately grants even His very presence. Psalm 91 shows us some amazing things regarding the security that God brings, the outworkings of that, and the hope that is assured to us because of what God has done. So how should we then learn from this? Firstly, we should see the need that we have. The need that if God says security and safety is offered, then it must mean that we need it. And we must then be serious about the protection that He grants. One of the failures that we as Christians make is to not be serious about what He offers and what He provides. We've done enough to make ourselves secure and comfortable and not recognize what truly and ultimately is necessary. After all, we have things to cover us, whether it's insurance, whether it's our plans, whether it's other precautions that we can take in order to make things easy in life. But yet we fail to realize that ultimately true security and safety comes from the living God. It also means that as followers of Jesus Christ, there are going to be dangers that we will see. Jesus notes the cost to follow Him. Paul testifies the persecution that results as he desires to live a godly life. The children of Israel dealt with dangers that surrounded them. The people of faith in Hebrews 11 identified the difficulty that arose in their circumstance. Moses abandoned the pleasures of Egypt in order to endure the sufferings and persecution of the children of Israel. If we are going to be followers of God, then at some point we are going to have hardship. Whether it's dealing with our family because we take a stance, whether it's dealing with our coworkers because we're unwilling to go the way in which they do, whether it's simply just being in a fallen world. And yet God assures us, He's our protector. He's our provider. He's our security. On the other hand, we ought not be presumptuous. The evil one attempted to use this passage, in particular verse 11 and verse 12, to then tempt Jesus about jumping off the pinnacle of the temple. And Jesus said, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." We ought not be presumptuous about the protection that God would give us, to not simply be dangerous just for the sake of being dangerous. That yes, we live without fear and with confidence of what God can do, and yet we also recognize what's reasonable and right and good. Thirdly, we recognize ultimately that we can trust God. That we can simply trust Him. We talked about Fort Knox at the beginning and the security that is found there. What's the Fort Knox in your life? Where is it that you find your greatest security? For some people, it may be relationships. It might be the idea that if I can just build relationships with enough people, then I know that people like me and I always have someone to turn to. I'll never be alone, and so I'm good to go. For some, it's just simply financial stability. As long as I know that I have enough money in the bank so that I can turn to it, and those numbers just keep adding up, then no matter what comes my way, I can always overcome it by my income. For some of you, your security is found in just simply numbing yourself. How can I numb myself to the things that are around me or the pain that I experience in this world? And so, consequently, you turn to alcohol or turn to drugs. Some of you might just want to inflict pain on yourselves by cutting yourselves just because you want that moment. You want that rush. You want that experience. Some of you find pleasure and security just in being able to go out and go shopping. But whatever it is, you're simply turning to something that won't last, that won't stand, that won't remain. It will eventually end. But God can be trusted. God ultimately is your security. He speaks of it by His name. He speaks of it by what He's done. He speaks of it by whom He is and what He provides, the care that He has demonstrated unto you, the promises that He makes in the end. Whatever hardship it is that you're facing right now, whatever circumstance that is coming before you, recognize the security that you have in Him. And don't be afraid to call upon it. Recognizing that even in the midst of your sorrows, He will be there. Utilizing those things to build you up and to strengthen you and to assure you again of His glorious presence, the greatness of His work, and the wonder of all that He does. Take confidence in this one who promises you to be there.